When we're laughing, ha 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 ha, even fake it, ha 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 ha. When you start dancing around with anxiety, stop. Take three deep breaths into your belly. Close your eyes if you're able, if you're in a safe spot, and exhale. Just three slow, deep breaths, and it brings you to the present and it puts you into parasympathetic.
Welcome to Daring Dreams, Heart and Strategy in Small Business Marketing. I am Haley Bowen, your host, and today we are talking to Kathy Nesbitt. Kathy is a health and wellness advocate and the founder of Kathy's Crawly Composters, which she's been doing for 23 years. So that deserves a hand of applause even before we start. She also does Kathy's Sprouters and Kathy's Laughter Club. She's a multi-award-winning visionary who inspires individuals to live more joyful and sustainable lives. And she is a certified laughter yoga teacher. So she helps people get out of stress and into joy. When you feel good, you do good. And you know, over here at Daring Dreams and Marketing on Purpose, it's all about doing good. So we are so excited to have you here today on the Daring Dream podcast. Welcome, Kathy.
Yay. Thank you, Haley. I'm excited to be here. I am. Wow. Daring dreams. I have them.
Why don't we start off by just sharing with everybody, what does your company do? And then we'll kind of get into like, what was that entrepreneurial journey like for you?
Beautiful. So my working title is Kathy Crawly Laughing Bean Queen. Simple solutions for today's challenges. Worms for indoor composting, sprouts for eating, grow your own, and laughter for overall health and wellness.
Like, how does your business model work in terms of like, how do you make money?
That's the miracle part of this whole thing. I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm still here. So something working. I've always been an entrepreneur. It's just as an entrepreneur, you're doing all the things. You're like one of those circuit spinners, you know, you're spinning all the plates.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a good visual, actually. Do you sell something specifically?
I do a lot of education. So I started by selling worms by the pound, and that's what I've been doing for 23 years. Worms by the pound for indoor composting. Here's the thing as an entrepreneur. It's a bad business model. If someone's going to do a worm business, they should sell the compost and not the worms. The worms are the workers. But I didn't know, and I think I'm divinely guided. You know how we fix the technology? I do believe that someone's got my back and they're actually pushing me. So I'm located in just north of Toronto, largest city in Canada. The landfill closed in 2002, and we started to export our garbage to the U.S. What? Right? Crazy.
Wow. Sucks for them.
But us too, because it's our tax dollars hard at work. Like, oh, there goes our tax dollars to the U.S., right? And it costs a fortune to ship all that. Anyway, I had a solution. 6 million people in the greater Toronto area, half live in condos without space to do outdoor composting. And so in I came, I was like, da-dunk, yay, everyone needs worms. And, you know, it's just composting inside. The worms are in a container, they're not free range. And they turn our paper waste and our food waste into black gold for more nutrient-rich food, so we don't need chemicals for gardening.
The paper too?
Paper too, they need carbon and nitrogen, or it could be leaves, straw, cardboard.
Oh my word, I had no idea. Okay. Okay, and so you're teaching people how to do this and providing the worms.
That's it. Yeah. That was my goal, right? In 02, I was like, oh, this is so great. That will reduce what's being shipped. People can save money on even, you know, buying fertilizer. They could just make their own. It's a great project for kids. It's really sustainable. It's something we can all do for climate change.
I'm just in shock that I've never heard tell of this ever. So what if somebody who's listening wants to start doing this? What do they do?
So for the do-it-yourselfers, any container will do. Say a Rubbermaid tote or a recycling bin, something that size is perfect, something that is portable. And your bedding is shredded paper, could be leaves, straw, cardboard. There's instructions on my website. A little bit of soil, some eggshells, water, mix that up, add the worms in. It's a special worm. There's thousands of types of worms. Only four have been identified. So red wigglers, European night crawlers in Canada are best. They eat about half their weight in food scraps per day. So here's the math. It's really, it's fabulous. Like, it's such a great science lesson, and it's beautiful for the people that need, like, oh, prove it. So the worms, say a pound of worms, half a pound of food scraps per day, 3 to 4 pounds per week. Imagine every family doing it. And the exponential amount that we're reducing. And then the worms reduce the volume by about 80%. So you're left with like gold, black gold, really. Like their poop is the fertilizer, and it doesn't smell like ours. So back to the container. It's got a lid. There's holes in it so they can breathe. You add in your food scraps, and the worms are eating the paper and the food. And it's... they're happy. They live in the dark. They're quiet.
Oh my word. That is amazing. So how many people do you think are doing this, like, that you've helped?
I have thousands of customers. Over 75,000 students have seen my presentation. I do school workshops, because I would have a table wherever I could, you know, trade shows or the farmers markets. There wasn't that many back in 2002, but there's more now. Wherever I could have a table and people were interested, because I'm animated and probably fun to watch. But then they're like, ew, no worms in the house, what? Such a foreign concept. And I was like, how am I going to do this if people are afraid? So I decided to take on school workshops. So beautiful.
And so, okay, so tell me about your, like the kind of the biggest hiccup. I mean, in 23 years, I'm sure there was something that you were like, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. I guess kind of like, what was that moment and how did you get through it?
Wow. So it was 2012, but the biggest challenge was fear of worms, other people's, like, worm composting business. Wow, cool, neat. Oh, what a great idea. Ooh, worms in the house. So I have a psych degree, so I'm fascinated by people. And I realized that a lot of people have been traumatized as children by worms, like a rainy day or a fishing incident, something with worms. If something has happened as a child, you're not going to look to that thing as a solution. So that's why I took on the worm workshops. But then 2012, one more person said, ew, worms in the house. And I'd heard it hundreds of times. I just wasn't paying attention to what the clients wanted.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right? I was like, you need this. But people don't buy what they need. Right? People buy what they want, not what they need, necessarily. Sometimes it's both, but yeah. So I did the school workshops. But in 2012, oh my gosh, Haley, I was like, I felt it. I questioned everything. I was... 10 years, I was questioning everything. I was like, how am I going to do this? And the very next day, I was introduced to laughter yoga.
Okay.
And I don't do yoga. I know it's a fine thing. It's just not for me. I jumped to the fun yoga. Laughing as a cardiovascular workout. The yoga part of laughter yoga is the deep diaphragmatic breathing and the practice of the laughter.
Doing that yoga helped you to keep going in your business?
Yes. Ever heard laughter's the best medicine?
Yes.
And the next question is, have you had your daily dose? Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. The love drugs, when we're laughing, that's what we're secreting. We're fully oxygenated because you can't just ha-ha, you're exhaling. You have to, so you can continue ha-haing. There's so many factors. It's a vibration, but it's a up here vibration. Up here, I have my hands over my head for the listeners. When we're laughing, we are fully present. We're not thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. We're right. We're not thinking anything. We're laughing. When we're laughing full on, we're fully engaged. All of our senses, and laughter is the opposite of stress.
Well, me and my best friend, when I was like a kid myself, we would lay in the bed and we would just start fake laughing until we really laughed. And then you just can't stop, right? And so I used to do that with my kids too. We would lay in the bed and lay on our backs and like do the like laugh. I haven't done it in so long.
That's laughter yoga. You were doing it.
Oh, see, I knew it even before I knew it. Is it really?
It literally is that. I mean, there's little games to inspire the laughter for the people that couldn't do that, that are in their head, like, how can I laugh? There's so many things. It's so stressful. It's so stressful. How can I possibly laugh? We say you must laugh. It's easy to laugh when everything's good. All is well. La, la, la. Everything's fine. There's no stress. When is that? That's never. Not anymore.
Yeah, true.
Laughter is that mechanism that helps us overcome the stress. We're not laughing at the situation, we're laughing because of. It's not jokes or comedy, it's laughing as an exercise. So ha ha ha, ho ho ho. And there's a mantra, we're clapping, and the rhythm is 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and the words are ho ho, ha ha ha, as you clap your hands.
Can we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. So clapping hands, 1, and palm to palm, you're activating meridians. So 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Smiling and breathing. Ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho. Play along, everyone. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho.
Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha.
Ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. And then we say, very good. Very good. And hands overhead. Yay.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Right? It changes everything. It changes our state.
Yeah, I really love that. Oh my gosh. Incorporate laughter yoga into my workshops. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh my gosh.
You only need a few minutes. Like, you can start a meeting. I used to have a group called Green Connections, a networking group. And I would start the meetings with just a couple of minutes, a couple of little stretches, some clapping and just laughing, and then we'd start the meeting. Everyone's fully present and ready for the speaker.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. Ooh. But I bet you people are, it's similar to the worms. I bet you people are in, like, there's a fear probably around being embarrassed of doing that if you're not expecting to do it.
Yes, you know, and this it goes back in history. It's really interesting. All three of my offerings, worms, sprouts, and laughter, are so simple, yet so misunderstood. And laughter, I believe, was squished out by the Greeks in ancient times.
Okay.
They found laughter frivolous, and it was frowned upon. The more highly educated you were, the less you laughed, because you weren't taken serious.
That's awful.
And I believe we still have some of that residue in our DNA. I believe that's still part of why we, you know, when we laugh at inappropriate times at a funeral or at a something, somebody trips and maybe they're hurt, but we laugh. It's our body, because we're so stressed. It's like the pressure cooker, a little defense mechanism.
Yeah. I know some people, when they get stressed, they laugh for sure. Like, there's a couple of people I can think of, and it's just so crazy. It's yeah. Okay, that's so funny. Okay, so you're doing the laughter yoga. So you basically built businesses based on your passions.
Yes.
Let's go back to the sustainability piece for a moment. Where did that passion come from?
Whew. I just saw a problem. It's just organic matter was something I just always saw as an avid gardener and composter. That was the next piece. The worms was the added piece, but I would always bring home scraps if I was somewhere. I'm from Toronto, but I moved up to Bradford in 93 and bought a house. Couldn't wait to start gardening and composting. And in fact, I would take the commuter train to Toronto. Like most people that move out of the city, I still had to travel too. I would take an ice cream bucket on the commuter train and collect my coworkers' lunchroom scraps. I worked in a law firm.
Oh, that's dedication. I feel like not everybody would do that.
Well, Haley, you know, it seems that it's so altruistic, and I suppose it sounds that way now, but it was really selfish. I just wanted more compost.
Okay, gotcha. For your garden.
For my garden, the more you put in, the more you get out, the better your garden grows. And I knew that. So I needed garbage. I needed organic waste. So yeah, so beautiful. So it kind of went there, I guess. I'm a camper. I love nature. So it pains me when I see garbage strewn about, like out in a walk, you're in the forest and you see tires. You're like, those tires didn't roll there on their own.
That is upsetting. I also get really mad when I see that. It's, yeah, and walking trails. Like, I'm a big hiker, and, like, you notice that stuff, and it's not good. Okay, so let's talk about marketing for a moment. What would you say, like, what have you done to be able to, like, it's not easy to start a business, it's not easy to make money, especially with something that people would maybe, like, there's a built-in objection, right, with the worms. Like, I also am thinking, like, I don't want an ant farm in my house, and I don't know if I want a bucket of worms, right? So how did you get so many people on board? Like, what did you do from a marketing perspective?
Again, divinely guided. A lot of things happened. So in 2002, our landfill closed. We started shipping our garbage. You know, we need a solution. We had a garbage strike in 2002, and I was watching the news, and people were dropping off their garbage, and I was intuitively guided to go down and educate people, like find out. People were lining up for hours, Haley, to drop off their garbage, like nothing better to do. What are they? They got so much leisure time, they'll go wait in line to drop off their garbage.
But you don't want your garbage stuck in your house for weeks either, right?
I thought those people don't compost. Because if you compost, it takes the stink out of garbage. You would, like, your recycling doesn't smell, right? So that's what, right, as an entrepreneur, this was given to me, this thing of the composting. I'm the one to bring the message, right? I see what others don't see somehow, I don't know why, about this topic. And others do the same with whatever they're passionate about. So I went on a road trip with my worms, but before I sent out press releases to the Toronto outlets.
Oh, and they probably picked that right up because it's such a hot topic of the moment.
Topical, right? Children, seniors, you probably know if to get media, it needs to be, yeah, children, seniors, or to have a solution. And I had a solution to a really smelly problem, right? Garbage strike and our landfill closed. Big. So 5 minutes after sending my press release, a Toronto Star reporter contacted me. And I was like, woo, yay, right? And so he said, when you're done at the transfer station, because I said, I'm coming to town and I'm bringing my worms. And, you know, I'm sure it was intriguing. I'm sure it was probably well written. So I got my first article in the Toronto Star on July 18th, 2002. And I had a response. So then I was like, oh, I'm not afraid. If I'm having a bad hair day, I'm not going to shy away from the media when they arrive. I was doing a lot of exhibiting, and the media covers those events. So, I've had over 300 articles, TV, radio. I have a documentary. I was a media hound.
That's awesome. But that worked for you.
Yes. And I did workshops, right? And I did workshops marketing on a shoestring to teach other entrepreneurs. Like, people might not have wanted worms, but I was getting paid gigs helping people how to get press. Like, I'm not a PR person, but apparently.
So you kind of had also like a little media thing going on, media company.
Yeah, I'm a hustler, Haley. I have all these, like, I'm like an octopus. I have all these things, but what's my like they say you need a map and a plan, and probably it's a good idea. Maybe I'd be more or something, but I feel like it would be like a tightrope, you know, a straitjacket or something. I feel like I need to be creative and flowy, and I'm making a, like, when you asked about my marketing strategy, the thought that came was like throwing spaghetti at a wall. That's what I feel like my strategy's been, but it's worked for me.
And it's interesting because, like, I've worked with, oh gosh, hundreds of small business owners, and there is a handful like you who they do really, really well. But you can't tell them, do this, do that, do this, do that. Like, it's just like, I need to do it myself. I need to learn on my own. And, you know, some people that really works for, some people are complete opposite. And it's like, I need a structure. I need a plan. So it just depends on the, like, how you work best. And I'm sort of like the quasi, because I know the importance of a strategy and a structure and stuff like that. But I'm also highly creative. And so it's like the same thing. Like I'm pretty fluid in how I achieve what I achieve, but I'm very, just like you, very cemented in what is my purpose and like, what am I trying to achieve in this world? There's no question, but the question is like, how, right? And I feel like you're that way. Like, you know what you want to do for the world.
Oh, I know what I want to do. And now since 2020 with laughter, the worms are still going. I'm more talking about it. I was waiting for younger folks to come along and do the manual labor part of the worm growing. And you got to be passionate. It's really not about money. Money's there. Lots of money is there. It's available. And it's also a lot of work. So you got to love it.
Yeah.
And it's so grounding, haha, it's earth and gardening and stuff. But it's you know, you can't be on your technology. So you're totally connected to sustainability, you slow down. There's so many messages in the worms. I mean, I really feel like my life is a magic carpet ride because I've made such a huge impact from the ground. It's really heavy and people saying, ooh, and I'm so sensitive. So I would get hurt. So in 2012, that's where the laughter came in and lightened it up. Like the worms are heavy. It's a big, like, it's really good. And people are like, rah, rah, good for you. And I'm like, well, do you have worms? And they're like, ew, no, I wouldn't have worms in my house. But good for you. I'm rooting for you.
People see the benefit of it, but it's they have to be able to get over the fact that they're going to have, like, and how many worms would they need? Like hundreds of worms probably in a container.
800 to 1,000 in a pound.
Yeah, like that's a lot of worms in your house.
I think they have 5 hearts to eat, if that's helpful. A great Valentine's gift.
Yeah. What did I get for Valentine's Day? A pound of worms. It's like 40,000 hearts.
4,000 to 5,000 hearts. Yeah, so beautiful. Yeah, 1,000 worms in a pound, say. 4 to 5 hearts each, 5,000 hearts. Yeah, it's a lot of love. So good. It really is a great lesson. I mean, it really is a wonderful thing. And that's why I took on school workshops, because the kids weren't tainted with their stories about worms. They weren't already traumatized. Because I did find when I was speaking out in public, the adults, they might be intrigued, but then they're like, no, yeah, this is interesting, but yeah, no, there's a line. I'm drawing a line. Where the kids, and it's still my favorite thing going into classrooms. Just watching, especially in a place like Toronto, it's Condoville. Some of these children have never been to they've never held a worm. They've never seen a worm. They've not been to a park or just, you know, the little parkette that they might have in the city or something, you know. It's really a lot of concrete down there. If we're not connected to something, we can't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've never been to the forest. Why would we care if they chopped it down and put houses? Because we need more housing. So why would we care, right? Because we don't understand the feeling that we get when we go for the walk.
Right.
Because we need to be present. And that's what the laughter does. The laughter brings us, it's like an instant little vacation, a mini spa, a mini meditation. And there is a meditation portion. So a laughter club starts with a warm-up because it is cardiovascular workout. You do some deep breathing, some little gentle movement. You smile, you're maybe waving, especially on the internet, with the old internet. You know, with this, we have it in gallery view and everyone can see each other. So we wave and it's contagious in a good way, right? We're playing with each other because since 2020, we're so isolated. And isolation is more damaging to our health than smoking, alcohol, and obesity combined.
Wow. What? Is that scientifically proven?
There's research just coming out that it's the new smoking. They said it was sitting, but which you know, sitting on your own.
Yeah, sitting alone. Oh. So tell me about the club, like, because that's something that people can join.
Yes, I have a free club online. It's 9:30 a.m. Eastern. It's free. 30 minutes of super fun self-care. Come and check it out. I'm as the it's my husband and I. He's a laughter leader. I'm a teacher. I taught him. He's the leader. Yeah, because I do trainings as well. If anybody wanted to learn this magic medicine, there's a huge need. So yeah, it's kathysclub.com is my website. You just go there, you register and join. And every Tuesday, 4.5 years. I started in June of 2020 because we were right in the thick of the thing, and we were all locked down. And I love my husband, but it wasn't enough.
I get that. You needed other people, yeah.
Oh, I'm an extrovert, and I was going cuckoo. I mean, it was so scary, first of all. I can't even remember how scary it was. I don't want to conjure up those memories again, but even when I try to conjure up those feelings, I really can't. It's literally gone. Maybe because I laugh every day. So I've been laughing since 2012. Really, really laughing since 2020 when the world shut down, and you know, I wasn't going into schools, I wasn't out speaking, my business dried up. Like, what am I going to do now? And so I jumped online, like with everybody, and I took laughter serious. And I incorporate tapping, brain gym, qigong, all kinds of energy modalities, because there's no room at the inn. Our healthcare is broken. It may be free, but it's broken. You wait a long time. And then you might not even get the right thing because there's no time to take with people and get to know them. It's just like, oh, what are your symptoms? Okay, here, take this or do that. So if we look after ourselves and build our immunity, and then we're connecting, so we've got social, we've got the love drug screening, we're oxygenating, we're in charge. And it helps us. So people would take the training. It's a 2-day training. And the reason people would take the training, if they want to add supplementary income, because there's more and more need for laughter. Once people realize why we need this and why it's so, that's why you take the course. You learn why.
Is it a course that you are offering?
I'm offering this course. Yeah, I'm a laughter yoga teacher. It's a online and in person. I of course you have to be in Ontario for in person, but or hire me to come to you. Yeah, it's 2 days, and I have maybe, you know, quarterly I do an online training, and it's so super fun. Like, it's just something that helps you. It goes, so any teachers, it would be great for them to incorporate laughter in the classroom. It breaks the tension, it connects the group, right? We start vibrating on the same frequency. Even if you're feeling sad or depressed, which is a very low vibrating frequency, you can laugh because your body doesn't know the difference between real and imagined laughter. Your ego does. Your mind's like, hey, what are you doing? You look ridiculous. Stop laughing. What's happening? There's no jokes. And your body's going, pew, pew, pew. And the love drugs are careening. And it's like, oh my gosh, I feel great. Do more of that. When we allow it, we have to allow it.
So interesting. So is this something that's been around for a while, or like, where did this even come from? Or did you make this up, or?
Oh, thank you. No, it's a real thing. Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't talk about the origin. Thank you. It's the 30th anniversary of laughter yoga, started in 1995 by a medical doctor. Yay, street cred. Dr. Madan Kateria, and his goal is world peace. Yuppie. So there are laughter clubs in over 120 countries.
Oh my word, it's like a big thing.
It's global. It's a global giggling family. And I feel like, oh my gosh, during 2020 and 2021, there are laughter clubs around the world. People can laugh with any, you just zoom in, they're free for the most part. And you just sign up and go to these laughter clubs because it's not language, although they will be speaking Japanese and the Japan ones and whatever. But then they'll be doing the games. Ho ho ha ha ha, international laughter, ha ha ha, hee hee hee. So there's little games, like you're making a milkshake. So you pour the it together, yoop, you pour it together, pew, pew, and then you drink it and you laugh, ha 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 Or hey, guess what?
I'm gonna come. I'm going away this week, but I'm gonna come in the next couple weeks and Just try it. I think that's so fun.
Any Tuesday, right? It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's silly. But when you allow yourself, you're a natural. I can see you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. Last week I had 32 little Zoom squares. I get about 25 per week. People from around the world.
That's so cool. I love that. We're so disconnected right now with everything going on, and there's just so much like stress just in the news. This is perfect for right now too. I mean, it's perfect for always, but.
This is what we need because if we're focusing on the news and what's happening, then it's really stressful. We get tight, we get anxious, and we start wondering what's happening. It's because what we need to do, it's very simple, is manage our nervous system. When we're stressed, when we're tight, we're secreting cortisol and we're not breathing and we're doing damage. When we're laughing, ha 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 ha, even fake it, ha 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 ha, we're breathing deep, we're even focusing on your breath. When you start dancing around with anxiety, stop. Take three deep breaths into your belly. Close your eyes if you're in a safe spot. And exhale, just three slow, deep breaths. And it brings you to the present and it puts you into parasympathetic, which is your relax and rest and digest. You know, what I've learned, I know so much. I feel like I have a PhD in how to manage my nervous system, and that I just want to share it. One of my gifts is being able to. I attend a lot of online summits. There's a summit for everything, and my gift is gleaning the gold from those, and then I bring it, and laughter goes with everything. So I can combine all these modalities. And I say to people, take what you want and leave the rest, because not everything for everybody. There's no magic pill. It's energy. So if you have a pain somewhere, it's blocked energy.
Okay.
And so you got to do something. So you can do some tapping there if you're familiar with tapping. If you get your brush, it's like little acupuncture without the needles, and it feels so good. Oh, people should come to my Tuesday club, and I just bring all these little tips and tricks for living a wonderful life. I feel like my life began in 2020, even though I've had a really cool life.
Yeah. And I actually think this is a really good topic for the listeners and like small business owners, because the amount of pressure and stress that we all put on ourselves, and the uncertainty of being a business owner, like you don't know what the month is going to look like next month usually. Right. And so, that I love that we're introducing everybody to this idea. I just think it's awesome. I love it. I'm so glad I found you. This is going to change my life, you guys. I'm excited.
Oh, Haley, I'm so excited too, because what I thought as you were just wrapping up there is there's no like play sheet. It's always worksheet, the work day, work, work, work. There's no time for play. There's no space. So we need to make space for the play, so that the rest of the stuff is more like play. We need to incorporate play into everything we do, because then it's playful, not just all work.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's great. Okay. So, do you have any advice for, business owners who maybe want to start something that's unconventional, like the worm thing, and the laughter thing, right? That's just following their passions. Like, how do they get past their own blocks in order to be able to go out there and be like the worm lady? I'm sure they don't call you the worm lady, but.
They do. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Sometimes they go, hey, it's the worm lady. And then they're like, oops, like they're not sure if they should call me that input like to my face. And I go, yeah, no, I've been called worse. It's fine. I would say for people that have an idea, that every time they think of it, they get that feeling in their stomach, like, oh my gosh, if not you, who? If not now, when? Because someday never comes. It's not in the calendar. Someday is never, like, it's never coming. If you meet a friend, you're like, oh, we should get together someday. Yes, like, schedule it, right? So write down the things that you like about your idea. And then the second piece of that is, find your people. Find people that are in agreement with you. Don't go to all the naysayers and try to convert everyone because it's too hard and you'll get burned out.
Yeah. And there's a lot of naysayers. There's a lot of people who are risk adverse that love you and have your best interests at heart, but they're not you.
That's it. We have to row our own boat. So you can tell people, but, you know, just don't tell them everything. You know, just give them an idea. Like, know the people that you can share things with and make sure that you find the people. Like, do networking. It's not what you know, it's who you know and then who they know. Then you have to prove yourself. So you got to know something, but.
Yeah, you got to be good at what you do.
It's not enough just knowing it and staying in your house and having a website and going, okay, I'm ready. Okay, where are the people? You got to go find the people. You got to go be where the people are so then people can find you. There's a lot of pieces, and I would say make sure the one piece of advice, if you're a solopreneur and you're working from home, when I was taking my business course to write a business plan, they had speakers come in, and it was a marketing woman, Haley, and she hadn't been in business 3 years, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be in business 3 years. That was really inspirational. So I hope I'm inspiration for somebody thinking, wow, 23 years. I started back then too, and I wanted to be in business 3 years. She said, even if you have a deadline and you're writing something and you're blocked and you're just frustrated and it's not happening, get out. Go for a walk around the block. Go stand in the sun. Go away from your house because you're blocked. So when you go around the block and then you come back, you're fresh and you can do something, right? It's not like, oh, I got this deadline, I have to. Well, it's not coming. It's clearly not coming. You're all stressed. So if you go, maybe even go and laugh. If you're like, go find a laughter club, or if you have a trampoline, go and jump on the trampoline. You got to shift energy because it's just energy is stuck, which means it's not flowing.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah. Okay. That was more than one thing, but there you go.
But that's really good though. I like all those things. Those are great pieces of advice. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to share in the show notes, everybody who's watching and listening. We're going to put the Laughter Club. We're going to put all the information for you to be able to find out about how to do the worm composting and how to get in touch with Kathy. And I think you should do all of it.
Can I give a shout out to my laughter buddy who lives in Quispamsis?
Of course.
Hello, Janet Shore in Quispamsis. Yuppie! Laugh with you soon.
We'll have to tag her in some of these videos.
We've been laughter buddies since December 2021. Every day she calls me at 7:30 my time.
Oh, like you guys are like laughter every day buddies.
Laughter buddies. We laugh 2 minutes full on. No talking. 1 minute of deep breathing, 2 minutes more of laughter. So a 5 minute practice.
Do you like hang up without saying anything?
No, we usually chat for a few minutes, but not for too long. Just, you know, but if we've got a meeting or something, we can, as long as we get that 5 minutes in, it might be like, oh, I can't talk today. Okay, bunk. Beautiful. It's such an incredible practice. And every day I'm in my head thinking, oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. For 3.5 years now, or 3 years, however long it is. Wow. I'm just like, my gosh, this is such a simple practice to start the day, right? Our body careening with the love drugs, fully oxygenated, fully present. Okay, world, what do you have for me today? Oh,
love. I'm gonna do some laughing after this because I have a big workshop that I'm preparing for tomorrow. And of course, I've left it to the last minute. And so I'm feeling the pressure of that right now. So I'm going to go laugh after my next meeting and and then I'm just going to get her done.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And again, this is another episode of the Daring Dreams Podcast.